Where'd you go? Did you go hunting?
I hunted right here.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving morning.
Did you get yours?
Mm-hmm. All right, we will call the meeting to order. Thank you all for being here.
Oh, we have to put these on, I think she said.
What?
Yeah, it's a new thing. She put it in her. So you have to put them on. We're celebrities.
No. It's like, where do they have to go?
I think up by your voice.
I can't put it on my foot. Here, I'll do it right here. Thank you, ma'am.
Test.
Tim, you testing?
Testing.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Jamison?
I'm here.
Ms. Cruz?
I'm here.
Mr. Kelly?
Here.
Mr. Inman? Ms. Power?
Here.
Mr. London?
Here.
Mr. Champion?
Here.
And Katie, can we have the agenda up on the screen, please?
Just for the record, today is the 3rd of December.
It is.
Not the 2nd, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It is the 3rd. All righty. So I don't see anybody in the audience at this point in time. However, they are pacing out in front. So I know they will be coming.
They are pacing?
Well, they're on the phone.
Yeah, they're on the phone.
Yeah, you know that last minute phone call. Mm-hmm. All right. Did everybody have an opportunity to read the minutes from September the 3rd, 2025? Motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And request for approval of the October 1st, 2025 Economic Development Board minutes. Motion to approve.
So move.
Second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Moving on. No. Okay. City staff, stormwater master plan. I know Mr. London was here for it yesterday. No, Monday?
Monday, yep.
It all blends together.
When is it going to be posted?
I don't know. That's the eternal question. I'll ask Joe today, and if I get to go ahead, then I will. I'll have Delana put it on the website.
It should be attached to the agenda for Monday, so we could look at, that's where I was looking, trying to find it.
Yeah, today this is an abbreviated version because we have a shorter time frame, so it doesn't cover the whole thing, but it is the same slides from the PowerPoint, so. All right, so the stormwater master plan is done by Jones Edmonds and Associates and Mead and Hunt. Jones Edmonds kind of laid out how they established this whole master plan, and it first took on data collection and then establishing a model, looking at the level of service, the problem areas, and then drafting a capital improvements plan to address flooding. So part of the original desktop data collection included LIDAR data from 2018, 2022 land use. We also provided them AutoCAD data of all the new subdivisions. That was all put in there as well. Used parcel data and other GIS assets. So they collected data at 1,135 locations. These included, you know, anything from stormwater ponds to culverts, the drainage, the invert structures, all throughout the city. It was a pretty extensive undertaking, so it's been about 16 months. On the right, you can see the stormwater model, and it's showing kind of the basins that they've mapped, where water actually flows when it's in there, when water hits the ground, and just the different connectivity of the hydrology of this area. It did map all the way up to 44 and all the way down into kind of the Brevard County line almost there at the outfall. So to make sure that the model was representative of the actual flooding events, city staff had requested at the beginning of last year or last hurricane season that during flooding events, they send in pictures. We have huge number of these pictures that were submitted, and thank you to everyone who did that, because then Jones Edmonds was able to take those photos in the locations and then verify the model with the depth of flooding based on observations, which has helped fine-tune the model and get it really accurate. And the two modeled events was the extreme rain event, that one Saturday, and then Hurricane Milton. So this is just showing, these are the rain events that they are modeling, the mean annual 10-year, 25, 100, and 500-year storm. Recall, it's not necessarily a 100-year that occurs every once every 100, it's just a 1% chance that it can happen in any given year. And so the next kind of aspect of the plan was to look at, okay, what are our flood protections level of service and where are these basins located? And so through the modeling, they found that, you know, in a 100-year storm event, we would have about 610 homes that have flooding above the finished floor elevation of the city of Edgewater. Flood protection level of service, and then yard flooding here. So you can see that, you know, significant amount of yard flooding occurs in the 100-year storm.
This isn't just Florida Shores, though. This is the city of Edgewater.
Correct. It's the city of Edgewater. You can kind of see that there, but these are identifying really the problematic areas. And then lastly, road flooding. So during the 100-year flood event, we have about 990 roads that have greater than 6 inches. So they identify these problem areas and put them into these basins. And then they then group those basins kind of together hydrologically as the areas to target for improvement. So looking at, this is just one example. They went through really kind of the entire city of these problem basins, but this one's Florida Shores South. So what you're seeing in this map on the right is what the flood inundation looks like in a 100-year storm, so during Hurricane Milton. And the amount of volume that it is right now is equivalent to about 100 acres. So about 403 acre feet is needed. So flooding drivers, these were after each of the slides. They were really pretty much the same on each slide. The four recent storm events exceeded the 25-50 year return period. So what they mean by that, the storm events were greater than a 50 year storm. The city has had several 25, 50-year, and 100-year events all within a five-year period and a 500-year event. So pretty extreme if you put those all together probability-wise. We should maybe buy a lotto ticket. You know, Florida Shores was developed in the 50s and 60s prior to modern stormwater regulations. It has limited stormwater currently. So in the south part, They said that typically in a new development, it'd have about 200 acres of ponds. There's currently only 36 acres of ponds in that south basin of Florida Shores. And then limited hydraulic capacity, the canals and pipes were mosquito ditches meant to drain wetlands, not handle 100-year flooding. And then worst flooding areas are in topographic low spots that were historically wetlands. Kind of big one is increasing impervious area within Florida Shores. So since 1990, 65% of Florida Shores has been built out. So, you know, Florida Shores has been the largest residential development in the city of Edgewater the last 40 years.
That was like 4,000 homes?
Yeah.
Since 1996?
Since 1990, based on the permit, it was like 89, 90. There, yeah, about 4,500 homes have been built in Florida Shores. So quite a lot has been built in Florida Shores. And that loss of that storage from what was once vacant lots is significant. So,
and if I may ask one more question right here, since you're talking about this time frame, our first stormwater analysis was performed back in 1999?
Well, we first went to the state for Florida Shores back in 89.
89.
Yeah.
Okay. And we had evidence showing the low-lying areas and the flooding and everything back then. So just for the public listening, this has all occurred since we had data showing where the areas were. And we, as a city, and our past administrators, everybody, has allowed this infill to happen. Let's carry on.
So this is just kind of showing that infill. So on the left here, you have really before Florida Shores was kind of clear-cut in the early 50s, and identifying the wetland signature there. You can see that on the picture in the middle or the map in the middle, the lowest areas there are the lighter green to the low green to yellow. Obviously, red gets higher up. And so you can see it really kind of follows that original wetland signature topographically of that low point. And then through time, you can see that, you know, in 89, if you look at that left picture, you can still see that there's tons of vacant lots within that area. And now today in 2023, there's less than, I think, 150 lots left out of the 7,600 in Florida Shores. So it's quite a bit of infill development over the last 30 years.
Question, just for my own, and not so much on the map, but just in general. Obviously, you work in the building department. Somebody owns land. In 89, we identified it as potential wetlands, but people intend to develop it. How does that get managed? I mean, somebody wants to build on something that we said is an important wetland area for that.
Well, I think one of the challenging things was Florida Shores, you know, it's an old subdivision. It was platted in, you know, the early 50s, and then the city annexed it its boundary, but it's a platted subdivision, so people have those rights. So that's the challenging part too, is that people have the right to build a house on that lot, and a lot of people paid impact fees in the 90s for the kind of the conversion of sewer in there. So part of it is, let me step back too. So prior to really 88, I believe, there was no stormwater regulations in Florida. So, you know, when we came in the 90s and did water quality in here, they didn't address water attenuation, they addressed water quality when they paved the roads and took out the septic.
Thank you.
All right, alternatives. So they big picture improvements, and then they went into conceptual design. design, and then they finally got into the detailed analysis, and then the phasing. So they looked at over 110 alternatives of what would be feasible. And again, they developed 25 alternatives over four phases. These alternatives in the phasing is really important because a lot of them you can't do. So the important part of the analysis that they did is that these are being done in a specific order because certain ones will have upstream or downstream impacts depending on without them being done in conjunction with another project. So this kind of, the first phase of projects kind of allow the city to kind of pick and choose which ones they want to do. And they're more of like infrastructure costs. As we get into later phases, property acquisition becomes required in order to facilitate kind of the next step of the stormwater evolution. And so.
So let me go back to that just for a moment. So when I look at this 25 alternatives, but I'm sure some of them must be done before the next ones are done. There's certain items. So is there a list of, this is the priorities?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this kind of gives you an overview. So phase one project can be built on existing vacant land. They work independently of each other. So that's kind of the key point. And then projects that the city has expressed interest or is already under design, and properties that projects that do not require additional property acquisition. And then on the right hand side there, you can see those different projects. A lot of them are culverts and pumps.
I have a question. How much of the 110 ideas, how much of that can be paid for with existing impact fee money, and how much can be paid for with new coming online impact fees?
So the city's, until this year, the city did not have a stormwater impact fee.
That's a good answer, I guess. So because this is, these would specifically be stormwater improvements, it's not applicable for existing impact fees?
Yeah, the city can use the, now that we have a stormwater impact fee, the city could use funds from there to do these projects.
Okay.
We can use, you know, the monthly fee, you can take out a bond, there's all sorts of financing options. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of money that just is hidden somewhere that already exists.
Right. I mean, I understand that. I just, you know, when people talk about how are we funding this? And they say, well, all the new development should be paying for this. We've already paid, you know, I'm just, so. But they didn't pay.
Yeah,
specifically,
I mean,
an impact fee into this, these projects. Okay.
This is, they had a whole deck, slide deck, of all the different improvements, but this is just showing kind of an example here. One project that they had suggested doing in phase one would be to install 350 cubic feet per second, so very large pumps, on these three ponds here, and then a force main out to the river to pump water out. And so 150 cubic feet per second is a lot of water.
How big would that pipe have to be? Roughly. Are we talking 12 inches or 30 inches?
I think that's probably a 16 to 20.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that any of that land going to have to be acquired to put that pipeway in?
No. So part of this was to not, in phase one, was to not have to acquire any property.
Okay. Do we have to upsize any pipe?
I don't know. It hasn't been that fully explored.
Okay.
About above ground or below ground?
It'd be
buried?
It'd be buried.
Okay. And it goes to the river when there's high tide?
Yeah, so the point would be that it would be force main, so under pressure pumped into the river so that, you know, it can go in there no matter what.
With a one-way.
It'd be like before the storm, you know, we've had the rain, we empty it.
The one they describe here is that before the rain, we would pump down, we'd activate these, and then we'd keep them running during a storm.
Correct.
To provide, because, so the pumps are doing kind of two things. They're providing conveyance, and they're buying us storage capacity. They're buying us time on storage capacity by pumping.
So basically, it's taking the three retention ponds and pumping them. So what percent of the area does that help manage? Do we know? Good segue. There you go.
Don't read ahead.
Nobody's seen it.
So these first phases of improvements, you know, this map's kind of hard. Mm-hmm. So the pre-inundation is the dark blue. So that would be everything that is flooding prior. And then post is the reduction. So every dark blue that is shown currently would be gone. So through these improvements, and that would remove about 172 homes from the 100-year storm event from flooding.
And how many flooded it during Ian?
During Ian, probably at least 1,200 in the shore.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be pumping before the storm, great. But we've had some storms where we've had high tides, king tides, and an east wind. So it's nothing's flowing out. So we can pump it out forcefully, but if we have a high tide and an east wind, isn't it still just sitting right out there on our... So we've removed it from Florida shores and put it out there in the intercoastal, which is still coming in.
Can we pump it west? Oh, dear, can't go west, can
we? Yeah, I mean, in later phases, they are running canals out west to the Silver Palm Canal to provide another outfall, and they've talked about another outfall for Florida shores. Again, that's still tidal dependent, right? You know, Matt, our stormwater engineer, and Chris and the team, they think it's pretty de minimis effect on the river for the pumping that we're doing.
Right.
Just for the quantity of water that's in the river.
So I have a question. How we have 36 ponds or acres of ponds, whatever, and you need 200 to 250. Right, that was the number. Having the ability to pump down the existing 36 ponds, whatever, 36 acres. Is there a figure that this one thing brings that up to? Does that make it like?
Yeah,
if there's 75 acres of pond, like what's the number?
Okay, so let's keep going.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So phase two is, you know, you can see there east-west channels on 23rd, 25th, and 27th. So that was kind of what I was talking about, getting another outfall to the west into the Silver Palm Canal, and kind of see what that looks like. And then phase two is kind of the first property acquisition, where in that red box they're suggesting that the city purchase roughly 30 acres for stormwater retention.
Within that red box?
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of homes.
Yeah.
If you had an estimate when we first started talking about this project based on your calculations, how many homes is this?
30 homes, so it's about four acres. Homes to an acre, so it's about 120 homes.
What
did you say one time? You said you're going to have to purchase in order to make this go away?
A lot.
Yeah, 300 homes, but yeah.
Is there state money for that? I mean, just, you know, which is a lengthy process, but there is DEP
funds?
Yeah, so the good news is the city finished its vulnerability assessment. We now have the stormwater master plan. So the city's in a very good position to go after
state and federal grants.
State grants now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really helpful.
Just so people understand, that is an unbelievably irritatingly long process for that to happen. There was someone with a home that was in the flood area or flooded, and they got the grant, but it was like 5 years. I mean, it was a really, really long time with government.
Obviously, you're not paying over market value, right?
Yeah, so the time involved is a lot. So it is not, even saying that there's money available and we're going to purchase homes and make it all better, it's not next month that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, it's probably like a 50-year plan to finance and do the whole thing.
Right.
It probably take 50 years to complete it all.
Yes.
It's just because of the scale. I mean, the scale of...
Right.
It's pretty huge. And do the residents in that area have to agree to sell?
Yeah, the city is not looking to do eminent domain. Right now, we'll probably, when we get to that point, when we get to phase two, phase three, phase four, we'll engage interest who actually just wants to sell. And then kind of go from there. The other opportunity is the Transform 386 program. There's a buyout program. And so hopefully areas of Edgewater will get designated in that program, and then people can apply. And the caveat with that program is the city has to just leave it as stormwater or open space in perpetuity. So it kind of meets the intent of what we would do with it anyways, which is stormwater.
Okay.
Just one more question. Is there undeveloped land in a same or similar quantity, I guess, somewhere else within Edgewater that then these people could sell and move to or build on? Does that make sense?
Deering Park.
Trying to say that.
Deering Park,
yeah, I guess that's a good one.
I mean, there'll be more subdivisions in the future, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt.
But there's nothing targeted for this group.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the city right now doesn't have any policies.
Yeah.
I mean, we just got the report. So we don't have any policies yet about that. I'm sure as discussions emerge, that will be a topic.
Yeah, I'm sure that could get really interesting if, you see that box and your house is in that box. But
some people are retired and live there.
Right.
House paid for and I'm not moving.
Yeah.
Right.
So this, I'm sorry, would you go back one? Because we didn't really talk too much. This is the phase two.
Yep.
And we alleviate 449. Is that correct? And the other one was 120?
Well, no, so it was 120.
Phase one?
Phase one moved 172.
So 440, so you're up 700 of the 1,200. Okay.
And then phase three was, again, to add another 30-acre pond with other improvements. We removed another 485. And then phase four is kind of really the last one, and this is kind of the resilience aspect of it. If we could get to here, this would be probably the only place in the state of Florida built to this level. And this standard to this level of protection. So in this area, they're recommending we purchase about 100 acres or 280 parcels in this area or to build resiliency through 2100 for the Florida Shores community.
What is the time frame of this four phases? 5 years, 10 years?
They said 50 years.
50.
Yeah.
I would assume it'd have to be probably 50 years at the cost it is to really go after.
Well, I didn't know if it was 50 for the whole thing for all these ponds, because there's a difference in ponds, and in my view, the ones that are smaller and around the area of the red box, and then the red box. The red box is a huge, huge thing just by itself, but there are other things, you know, that you have identified. And I didn't know if they were still in that 50 years or if they were going to be done. I mean, the first phase that you showed is either underway or moving forward.
That's probably a what, 1 to 5 year plan to complete that?
Well, let's go over the cost.
Okay.
Let's go over the cost. All right. So this is kind of gives a breakdown, summary of the cost. So phase one, you know, they estimate that the cost is between 83 and 121 million. Right. So realistically, that's probably not going to be done in 5 years. Mm-hmm. The cost of that is it's expensive. So it'll probably take longer to do that. That's why I think this is a longer term plan.
And that is today's dollars, or are we projecting dollars?
These are today's dollars.
Today's dollars.
And no property acquisition.
Yeah, and so the important thing about this cost is this is the infrastructure cost. This is, does not include property acquisition.
And in 50 years, what's the cost going to be?
It's a big challenge.
A lot more.
Well, maybe in 50 years, technology will be such that it would help with this, right? Robotic digging things.
So just Dreamer. For example, those three 50 CFS pumps, you can see that in phase one there. So that was, they estimated just doing those pumps with the force main would be about $30 to $40 million.
It's incredible. Just for a pump
would be worth more.
Well, pumps and pipes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Plastic pipes.
Maybe we've all chosen the wrong career.
I got a buddy that sells them. Definitely chose the wrong career. I
hope this is eye-opening.
I it's eye-opening for me. I well, it's not really eye-opening. I guess it's more. I don't want to be the bad guy here. This looks like a very elaborate plan to state the obvious. It seems a lot of people put hard work in this. I'm not trying to demean their efforts. But before I saw this, we knew we needed to buy 400 homes. We knew that we needed force mains. We knew we had no underground hydraulic pipes. We knew that everything that was in the basically discovery, and we spent all this money for, a plan to tell us that we need to spend $300 million and buy 400 homes.
But I think this plan can get used for grants knowing those things versus having a detailed plan on paper with some estimated costs allows you to present things a little bit differently.
I agree.
Whaler days, we spent a lot of money to have people draw up something we all knew, but we needed that to present to the city when we went for things.
Yeah, it also needs to come from actual people that it's their job to figure out where this goes and what it looks like and what the volume is, and not people that stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, unfortunately, which we have a lot of those people. That's flooding because of this.
And but people need to see the magnitude of the dollars and those.
Yes.
I think what you're saying, Mike, is we could have estimated, but I think these estimates.
Well, I understand why you have experts do studies. I mean, I get that. I'm not trying to simplify the exercise. I guess my point is where we are now is we have a 50-year plan, and we have 400 homes we need to buy, which is not including the $300 million. We have zero money because we've just now implemented a stormwater impact fee. And we're going to tell the public that we need $300 million to fix somebody's house that's flooded, mine flooded twice. And we're going to present this like we've done something that's going to help somebody next time it rains.
So
I mean, not being negative, I just.
I'll address that in just a second.
Yeah,
so go ahead, Christine.
It has to start somewhere.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It has to start somewhere. I have a question for the county. How many cities are in this situation? I know Port Orange has done a stormwater study.
New Smyrna Beach did.
Deltona.
How many of them have stormwater impact fees in place and have money available for this? I'm curious.
There's only stormwater impact fees. When Aaron and I were working with the consultant on stormwater impact fees, we only could find about a handful, less than a dozen, that actually have adopted stormwater impact fees.
Yeah, can you have stormwater impact fees if you don't have stormwater?
Yeah, you can have stormwater, because we have a design level of storm that the system is required to be built to. And so, you know, the other hard thing is...
You're saying a dozen in the state of Florida or in our county?
No, in the state of Florida.
Wow.
I wonder if the consultant could just confirm maybe they have access to that data or could get it. But if you know that definitively that it's only 12, that just
I don't know
like,
if it's definitively 12.
Right.
I would have to get to the
But do you understand where I'm coming from? That it's not this is something that, you know, across the state of Florida, it's people's eyes are like, you know, crap. Yeah, we have to deal with this. And you know, I think it's important that it's not just the city of Edgewater, you know, how dumb that we didn't have stormwater impact fee.
Obviously the 100-year frame, whatever.
Right.
It's increased. You can tell that
right.
just by the requirement for building the level of
yep.
homes. I mean, what you built 40 years ago,
right.
you know,
and
it
the
has
weather,
to be 5-10 inches taller today.
The weather is also a factor.
It is.
You also have to take into account that up until this time, there have already been two stormwater analyses previously.
Mm-hmm. 89?
That nothing was done.
The leaders and the citizens did not have an appetite to fix anything. And when they had initiated things to, you know, re-implement the culverts that had already been filled in and this, that, and the other, people screamed bloody murder, and the council and the powers that be said, okay, we won't do that. We don't want to upset our citizens.
Right.
So now we are at the point that the citizens have gone the other way, and now they want it fixed and at all cost. Mm. So unfortunately, it had to become extremely painful before the citizens were willing to support the cure. And therefore, as time has progressed, as we see, the cure has done nothing but get more and more expensive and more, you know, boondoggling.
But I think in 89, the last one, as
it,
Brian
we have
said,
one in like 2014 or so as well.
But I'm not sure we had as many homes and as much concrete. It's exasperated what happens, right?
But when you don't have a plan, we allowed all the area that could have been purchased back then for pennies on the dollar today to be used as stormwater ponds. Instead of buying that vacant land that was vacant then, we weren't displacing any homes then. It was vacant land then. Instead of doing it then, now we have the horrible, yes, arduous task.
Got to go back into the permit and look at it, and I think it's really important to realize and take lessons from history, right? That's the point of history. Mm-hmm. is looking at the past. One of the things why in the permit, why the city didn't go out and purchase more vacant land is really because the council at that time had decided only to tax really the people of Florida Shores for the improvement. And so, you know, taking that lesson learned, you can't do that again, right? It can't just be Florida Shores has, it has to be a team effort across the city.
This is a city issue, this isn't a Florida Shores.
Are you talking about the sewer conversion?
Yeah, so there was that the people in Florida Shores got an assessment.
Right, and it was $8,000 a house.
Yeah, but it wasn't, yeah. You know, it wasn't citywide for stormwater, right? We didn't address stormwater.
Right.
We just addressed water quality, and part of that was cost.
So, not to fast forward, but what's the next steps in this? When does it get to the citizens?
This
information, yes.
So I will get with the city manager about publishing the PowerPoint that they did on Monday. The full report will come out on the 19th.
And I ask that because I could see them asking two main questions. Number one, how is this impacting me? Who's paying for it? And then two, though, how is this helping my hurricane experience next year? And I would just want to make sure that we're prepared to answer that whatever way that we can.
Yeah, I mean, the city is prepared to be honest about what to expect next year. And the honest truth is,
there are many homes that aren't going to be fixed for 10, 15, 20 years.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
for
reality.
For $300 million, you could just buy all of 26th Street.
Just make it a
canal. I mean,
make a big ditch.
One big river going down to the river.
I'm sure everybody would join.
For today's dollars.
Anyway.
For today's dollars. We had somebody in the audience. You raised your hand, Mr. Sean.
I was gonna suggest, obviously it's a big number, right? So
come to the mic, please. And identify yourself for the record, please.
Mic on?
So it's a big number, right? And one of the things I was just going to suggest, I'm with Ryan, you know, when I look at the cost, compared to a lot of things that we do, you know, those are numbers that we see in development. So knowing that there's no infrastructure, effectively limited infrastructure for the shores, one thing I would suggest is, as you present the information, Ryan, you know, if you take 216, essentially take the 216 divided by the 7200, it's about $30,000. And or if you extrapolate that out and include more units, so all the units, you know, all the residents in Edgewater, you know, probably $15,000-$20,000. So just to put it in perspective, you know, when we develop lots, we look at development costs, we look at various infrastructure and what that cost is on a per unit basis as we develop an individual lot. So I would say on average, doing site work, you know, $30,000 a unit for 7,200 homes is $216 million. Just to put it in perspective, that's about what we spend to develop an individual lot, like 40-foot, 50-foot, 60-foot lot. That number could range on the low side for a townhome lot, $20,000 a lot, up to $40,000 a lot depending on site conditions. But I just thought I'd add that as you look at a very large number. You know, if you were to Florida Shores today, and you know, you would probably spend $40,000 a lot to develop each one of those lots, just to put it in perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the stormwater portion of utilities is usually one of the most expensive portions, and we'll spend anywhere between, you know, $15,000 to $20,000. It's probably half of that cost to put all that infrastructure in. So just thought I'd add that, you know, as you're looking at the numbers, and maybe that's a way.
I think that was very pertinent. And, yeah.
So if they wiped out all of Florida Shores and rebuilt it from the start, it would be the same cost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The difference, I think, is people make a profit at the end of that 30 or 40.
Well,
this
just
is
using,
just going to be
just
a breaking.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I'm just using, I mean, we would sell the costs for much more than that. But,
yes.
You know, and plus you have to add acquisition.
Sure.
But by the same token, an individual who owned a lot and was going to build a custom home themselves, they have all those same expenses.
Right.
So it's not just the developer. It's any individual building on any lot.
And it's a good point because people are going to have to justify.
Yeah, it makes it makes it more
digestible.
Well, it makes it more palatable.
Palatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so, you know, starting over in Florida Shores, and you know, you're spending 30 on the low side to on the high side, 40-ish, you know, for a lot to deliver. That doesn't include a lot of other stuff, but I'm just talking about a lot of stuff.
Thank you. Well, that was
but there's
fantastic.
Also people that have had $30,000 worth of damage. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. I mean, when your house floods 12 inches, 8 inches in your entire house multiple times, not to mention your property value and everything else, I mean, it's, you know, there's people that haven't, but there's people that have.
Yep.
So consider that, too. I mean, these houses, we talk about buying or acquiring homes for sale. There might be people, a lot more people than you think that are willing to sell their home. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, they get tired of it.
Unfortunately, it only takes a few in an area that we can stop things. But,
yeah.
You know, I think that makes a lot of sense. And if we were to, as you say, we're going to have to make that investment.
Whether it's you just use the Florida Shores numbers, and I know their study standing on Florida Shores, so let's say the total unit count that they studied was 8,000 homes or 9,000 homes.
Almost 12. So.
Yeah, it's even lower.
Yeah, so, you know, do the math.
That's also why you know, the Deering Park project that got approved on Monday is a
18,000 lot. So
okay.
I certainly
absolutely
don't want an $18,000 impact fee for stormwater, but you know, I'm sure there'll be an impact study done at some point during that. But just to help put it perspective.
And Ryan, since you thanks again for coming up to the mic and sharing that information. It was fantastic. But you just segued right into Deering Park. So are you going to go there in your presentation? Are you done? Or?
Oh, no, I actually didn't include Deering Park at all. And okay. It was in my director's report.
Okay, so are you done with this? All right, you ready for your director's report?
Yeah, because I have an interview. So we're going to...
And I'd like you, since you've already touched on Deering Park and we're talking about this, and there are still people out there thinking that you know, Deering Park is going to flood them, I'd like you to address that.
Okay. Can we do the appointments?
Yes.
Okay. The request before you today is to consider the reappointment of Liz Jamison and Michael Kelly to serve another term on the Economic Development Board.
Are they willing to do that? Mike.
Well, you just appointed Bush chair, so
that works. No, I'm really talking about Mike.
Sure, you're willing to have me.
Okay, so we need to vote on it one at a time.
I make a motion that Bliss Jamison is reappointed to serve another term on the Economic Development Board.
I'll second that.
Thank you both. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, thank you. Michael Kelly, do we have a motion to approve Michael Kelly?
I would like to make a motion to approve Michael Kelly to serve another term on the Economic Development Board. Recommendation to the council.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you for continuing your service. We appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
We need a man on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for your support. It is a pleasure. Now moving on to your report.
So on Monday, we approved the first four plots for Deering Park, just under 1,000 units, two phases of the 55-plus active adult community, a single-family townhome community, and a single-family regular kind of home community. So that's very exciting, and they're out there clearing away. Building the stormwater ponds. So it's very exciting. In the next few months, we'll be bringing in kind of the last few subdivisions that were part of this kind of first phase. More of the commercial will begin coming in. You'll see those kind of site plans come through over the next several months. So it's very exciting. They're going to be, hopefully they said they're going to be going to construction on the wetland park here soon.
That's
very exciting.
26.
They're also actively building the Sun Trail. So that's kind of alongside Indian River Boulevard going up into Williamson. So that's also very exciting.
And the stormwater.
Oh, and stormwater about it. let me have that. I didn't include it in this one, but the master plan consultants, we did have staff had them, we've been throwing into the model. So, Mr. Kelly, one of the reasons we also did this was that in the future land use element of the comprehensive plan, it says that no new development can be approved unless it's been put into and approved by the stormwater master plan model. And so prior to its completion, we've been throwing projects all throughout the city into the model. And so what they found is that Deering Park has a substantial reduction in water coming under I-95, almost half in major storm events. Which is substantial on that South Culvert.
Which means they're holding their water.
Yeah, they're holding more water. So they have about 400 acres of stormwater ponds for roughly 2,000 acres of buildable development, which is kind of that key point, that 20%.
And the decrease, the reason that we're having the decrease is because they are holding more water.
Correct, yeah, and so what they found is that it actually will be a slight decrease in the amount of water in the Turnbull Hammock Swamp because they're holding back so much more water.
Did they do a comparison on how much we're trying to push towards that and compared to what they're reducing? Did anybody look at that?
I don't think they did look at that.
Because we're trying to push more water with this whole plan, and if it was a net neutral, that would be a really big positive.
I don't know if they truly looked at that, if they looked at whether or not it was going to come out to be a net neutral or not. I think it depends on whether or not we actually build those east-west silver pond canals.
Or when.
Because those will have to be engineered at that point, and so that'll be something to look at.
Well, I'm all for it. I live on 27, so. Get the water out.
When you think about, obviously there wasn't a plan 25, 30, 40 years ago, how this particular stormwater plan, how protected it is to future increases in water flooding or others? I mean, is there something in place or is it based on today's model?
So they built in sea level rise using our vulnerability assessment. So that helps a lot, especially with flooding and sea level rise analysis and impacts to the river, since those are our outfalls, are tidal dependent. Really, phase four is kind of building out that resiliency phase. Phase four, you know, we don't have to do phase four to get to our adopted level of service, but if we want to protect for rising sea and likely increasingly more powerful storms for the foreseeable future, then you would need to do phase four, which encompasses a lot more water retention. Mm-hmm.
Right now the thought is 20% is what you might have done during the project.
Yeah, I mean, so typical developments are doing about 20% right now in the city.
Thank you.
Going back to Josh and Bliss's point of how we've had a plan before, vacant lots were available, we did nothing with them, and then again, tying that to Joshua's point, we've already surveyed available vacant areas that we would not have to force people out of.
Yeah, so we've targeted in a lot of those
in 50
slides,
years.
You can see these ponds here. A lot of them are like that 2, 4 on this slide 5. You know, there's really not a lot of vacant land around Florida Shores left, but the ones, those are the ones that we could identify that were somewhat feasible.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, I know you don't have the plan for that yet, but it seems prudent that we get those vacant parcels at today's dollars.
But somebody owns those, right?
Correct. Correct.
Just a quick question. How many, based on the, I forget what it was called, the fee that residents just started paying this last year? The stormwater impact fee. How many years would it take to build that account to pay for the plan?
I haven't run that analysis.
Right, I'm sure. I didn't expect you to have that on you.
I mean, but I mean, there is.
Hopefully, only 50 years.
You know, there is.
We won't be here.
There is hope, right? I mean, if the city right now is experiencing a tremendous amount of growth, and right now we're bringing in about $1.3 million in new tax revenue that gets added on top every year, holding back money and stacking it using compounding time, you know, if the city held $200,000 a year for 5 years and then held that million through time every year, I mean, you can really start, and that would just be holding money, holding growth money, basically, instead of using it for anything else. So there's opportunities there, and I think I ran out something over a 30-year period, and it was like $42 million. That could be generated by just holding $200,000 a year from growth every right. year for 30 years. So there is opportunity and hope. It's just, unfortunately, I think everyone thought that this master plan was going to come out and be the silver bullet.
Yes.
And there's, unfortunately, the problem and the scale of it, you know, they basically need almost 1,000 acre feet of water in Florida Shores. 1,000 acre feet is 500 acres at, you know, 2 feet deep.
Right.
That's a lot of water that, you know, unfortunately, by doing pumping, we reduce the amount of properties we have to
right.
buy, right? And so that's why that combination was so important, because we're utilizing, again, the pumps are providing buying us time for storage, but also conveying.
In that figure that you just quoted for increased tax value, do you have any projection for the increase in personal property tax that
industries pay based on industrial land?
No, we can do that analysis. Like in the city of Edgewater?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that personal property tax, which I equate to equipment tax for people that, you know, come in, like Boston Whaler comes in and builds a plant and invests X amount of millions in
equipment facility. Yeah.
And I use that as an example, and I have since the moratorium stuff started, because Boston Whaler pays more in personal property tax, equipment tax, than they do in property tax.
Sure.
And they pay it each and every year. So I see
but is that taxed locally or does that go to the state?
It is taxed locally and it is divvied up like your Volusia County tax bill, you know, the tax bill that you get. X amount goes here, here, and here, but still.
They get a taste.
Yeah.
We get a nice big chunk as a city.
Another thing to remember is the funds, it's not in theory going to be, you know, $260 million to $300 million of the city of Edgewater paying strictly from out of their pocket, out of the city's pocket. It hopefully will be matching funds for something or
state grants.
Right, seed money for the grant, whatever. So that's, it's, you know, in however many years, coming up with $42 million by holding money. It's also how much is that worth in grant seed money? Right, yes.
So we need a good financial plan.
Yes.
And then kind of, so moving on from that, kind of the exciting thing is that InsurTech got their water quality grant approved at the county council yesterday.
Cool.
So a resolution Yay. Will be going to our city council in January to support that water quality grant with the county. You know, it's very exciting. InsurTech got their pre-treatment plan approved by Volusia County, and we've issued the building permit for the whole building now, so they're in there working on getting the plant set up.
Very cool.
Ryan, I thank you, and Lou, I thank you for all your hard work on getting that accomplished.
Yeah, we're
fabulous.
Really excited. You know, hopefully within the year we'll have, you know, 75 new jobs at the city that, you know, and they're likely to bring more and more. So
projected to bring 200.
Yeah, around there. So really, it's a good business, and it'll be, I believe it'll be one of the largest metal plating fabrication and manufacturing companies in the country.
It is already.
Yeah, so
this is going to be the largest in the Southeast.
Okay, so yeah, it's a pretty big investment in the city. I know they purchased just the building for $6 million.
Where is it at? Right across the street from Boston. Parkex.
Oh, right.
That's the RV plant?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, for the renovation of their existing building, they have spent $2 million on equipment. And when they complete the 56,000 square foot addition, they will be spending another $4 million. So that will be a total of $6 million in equipment that they are going to be paying taxes on each and every year. And I bring that up, I'm going to continue to bring that up, because I think that is a tax and a source of revenue that people are not aware of and do not think about when they look at ROIs. And so when the city invests in infrastructure, that needs to start being a part of the equation, because it is a tangible thing. Hmm. But I think that is missed. Majority
of compound interest is in
it. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Every penny counts.
It does.
So I don't see the agenda, so I'm just going to move forward. With board reports.
TPO has put out the call for projects. That happened Monday, so I don't know.
And that deadline is April?
I thought it was before that.
Okay.
That was March.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
March.
I just know it just opened up.
Okay.
So,
so Ryan, I know you're working on it.
What am I working on?
Call for projects with the TPO.
Who, me?
Opened up Monday.
Yes.
So.
All right, Mr. Linden.
Yes.
You have a board report for us.
No, I don't.
Okay. Maris Inman.
No report from the college, but I do want to remind us that we decided to do something earlier with the scholarships, and I don't have the minutes. I don't think any of us do. But on getting the scholarship out earlier, I think we talked about that, and we said we would do something this month, which I don't think we're going to be able to do, but I don't remember the details of it. But hopefully that'll trigger someone's memory. Okay.
I don't know if there was an update we were going to do and then send to you and you thought you could print them or something.
And is that getting it out in January? Was that the plan?
I thought it was November,
okay.
December, but you're right. It might be a little late.
It's never too late.
Never too late.
Never too late.
If it's just a matter of reviewing the flyer and making some edits to it, if you can get that to me, I'll review it.
Do you want that to everybody here on the board? Or, okay.
Yeah, if you send it to me, don't send it to me. Send it to Katie or Delana. don't send it to me. Send it to Katie and Delana, and we'll make sure it gets distributed.
Thank you. And then we'll put in, you know, please respond. Mr. Kelly.
Piggybacking on that, I'm not sure who actually does the scholarship submission anymore. I think that's out of our hands. I think the Leisure does that now.
Well, kind of typically in the past, Parks kind of admin had helped with the collection.
Well, the reason I say that is I know the submission is due the 15th. As far as what we're going to offer and make sure that we have our scholarship submitted tonight. Yes. That doesn't mean the names or any of that. That just means that we're committing to this much money for the scholarship and we're going to offer it again and blah, 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 blah. So that has to be to Tammy Harnage at the high school. So I just want to make sure whoever's doing that, make sure it's done.
Okay, so I would like to suggest that the scholarship committee work by email to make this happen by that deadline. And I think everybody is committed to doing that. It's just
make happen, or
well, no, the two separate things. We have time to do the flyer and work with the kids to register. It's just that basically what it is a commitment form to fill out that the Edgewater Scholarship Fund is giving away the scholarship again, mm-hmm. and it's going to be X amount of money again. And basically, it's copy and paste what we did last year or previous years. And I've never done it for Edgewater. Somebody's always done it from the city. The paperwork. I think.
Who is it given to?
It's given to Principal Secretary Tammy Harnage. I just don't know who fills it out from the city anymore. I used to do that. So.
If you could get a hold of Andrea.
I just know there's been transitions over there. I don't know who. So I just don't want to miss the opportunity.
And in that email communication, I'll review my minutes from that meeting and I'll send whatever we decided. So that we're on the same page.
Okay. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Joshua? All right. Nothing for the board. Thank you.
Nothing new on Advent Health?
Well, there's always lots of things, but certainly I guess I could definitely share. We are continuing the effort toward building our new hospital and look forward to next steps with our corporate board at Advent Health in the next few months. We've gotten through a state of Florida cabinet presentation on the project, and so it is certainly moving forward. And we have
ball was very successful too.
Very, very much so. Starting our new electrophysiology program at the beginning of the first quarter of next year, which was a direct help and support from the foundation. Gala that we held, our charity ball. So thank you all for those who are able to come and be part of that. And we just continue to look forward to the great partnership with the City of Edgewater.
Thank you. And thank you for that report. Although, you know, you have a lot of meetings and you spread the word, I don't think we can say it enough for all of our residents to hear.
Yes.
Okay. Mrs. Cruz.
Nothing else. I was going to actually bring up the flyer because I had
gotcha. Yep.
So there wasn't going to be a huge cost to print.
No, we can get that.
Do we have areas that it's handed out? I know the high school and the college.
Well,
we can chat about that, but our next meeting won't be until January, and most of the submissions, what's the submission deadline like?
December 15th.
That's for the confirmation.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not. That's not till. Yeah.
That's not until later.
Like, yeah, something like that. We just want to make sure that we do our commitment, and then I'll get the flyer, whoever can get the flyer to the right people at the high school, and then.
And also, Katie had sent me a note to renew my board position, and I did not see that. So, is that something everybody still? I didn't know if there's other candidates. I know I'm not physically working in the community anymore. I'm raising a small horse, but. My golden retriever at 10 months is 95 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I have no idea. Anyway, as I said, a pony to call.
Yeah.
But, and obviously, still active with Advent Health and some other things. willing if the board is willing. I'll have to find the email from Ms. Katie. I apologize. It came directly from you?
I always went because
that was automatically sorted, okay. Right? These aren't automatically sorted. So I go every month and I look at Jonda and Dennis and people on this board. But the rest of it, I just wipe out.
It's one. Let's go.
Well, we look forward to your. Thank you, ma'am. Ross, I will send you an official note.
All right, and so for a report on the Southeast Pollution Manufacturing and Technology Coalition, I thank everybody for their support and contributions to the successful golf tournament. It was a great day at New Smyrna Beach Golf Course, and fun was had by all, and it was due to the community's participation and support that it was such a success. And just to reiterate, those funds go to career education and workforce training, and we are forward, moving forward in that. And going to be doing a panel discussion at New Smyrna Beach High School this month. So looking forward to more next year. And if anybody wants to participate on the Education and Workforce Committee, please let me know. And with that, I bid you all a happy holidays and a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And look forward to seeing you in
January.
No,
2020.
Going backwards.
Sheesh. I wish.
2026. My birthday's on the 21st.
Of December?
January.
Oh, January. Gotcha. Yeah.
Who knows where that came from? My husband says I can do it. Motion to adjourn?
Second. Do it.
Thank you all.
I just want to hear you hit the gavel.